I enjoyed a rather paradoxic moment about 2 weeks ago. Yeah. What's that?
Is that past tense?
Paradoxic. Paradoxic. Paradox. Well, paradox is there's these animals that live in, they like fly and they have bills. And if you get two of them, it's a paradox. Yeah, that are two floating objects in the bay. That's a paradox. No, paradox is, wow, there goes my introduction. All right, let's get to the scripture. Good. So much for that. A paradox is an internally consistent statement or situation, like a catch-22. So, for example, a paradoxic statement would be, this is a lie. Got it? Because if it is a lie, it's the truth. Got it? But if it's the truth, then the statement is a lie.
If everything Harry says,
it's right. So that's the problem. So there's this paradoxic moment. Actually, Wendy was there too. She's with the kids now. But we were in the backyard. I was doing a little pickup gardening after the end of the semester. And we hear these young ones. They were probably maybe 3 years old, judging by the voice and language, as best we could tell, because they were talking in Spanish. There were couple of them, maybe a three-year-old and a four-year-old, maybe two little girls, and they're chattering in Spanish. Then suddenly, let it go, let it go, yada 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 yada, let it go. Then I hear the mom, and then I hear, let it go, mommy, mommy, let it go, mommy, let it go. I'm thinking, the kid doesn't understand what she's singing. Because apparently, she is not letting this thing go. She is insistent upon let it go. She cannot let it go, let it go. Which is the paradox. To be obsessed, as young ladies seem to be lately, with let it go. How can you be obsessed about releasing something? Got it? I just can't let go. I've got to see, let it, I got to see her sing, let it go three times a day. Otherwise, I throw a fit. Let it go. I think the mom should just sing, let it go to the children and have them let it go. They should learn to do that. But what struck me about that was the insidious power of Disney to worm itself into children's brains. Is, right? Disney is kitty crack. That's what that is. It's like, oh, the first princess movie is free, honey. You know? And then, see, that's what happens if they don't get let it go. The first Disney movie is free, and then after that, they all cost. And if you've ever seen the beginning of a Disney DVD, right? It's 15 minutes of previews for the games, the right, all the purchases, the clubs, the discounts, the add-ons, and they have this thing. I don't know why. It's like the demonic power to seize the life and values of a child and eat them, and make little Disneyoids out of them. There's Disnoids, I guess, everywhere. And that's creepy, as far as I'm concerned. But I would dismiss that as accidental if it weren't for the fact that as I just kind of reflect upon Disney movies, what one finds in those movies repeatedly is situations in which a young person is being presented a lifestyle by an older mentor to invite that young person into a certain lifestyle. Okay, for those of you who, okay, hi diddly d. There we go, hi diddly d. An actor's, who's that sung to?
Pinocchio.
Pinocchio. Hi, diddly-dee. An actor's life for me. You want to hear the lyrics to that? Huh?
Do we?
Do we?
I want to.
Okay, then let's do this. Okay, so there's Hi Diddly D, an actor's life for me. And we kind of hum along to that, right? How about this one? It's the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities. Forget about your worries and your strife.
Yeah, it's the bare necessities.
Now, what do we, right? That's the rest of it. We find ourselves humming along to that, right? And it's somehow in our skull. Who's presenting that to whom?
Baloo.
Baloo, right? Played by the now John Goodman. Used to be played by Phil Harris. Phil Harris played Baloo. Okay? And he's presenting Mowgli with this way of life. Centered around sloth, indolence, and deceit in order to get goodies. But we're bare necessities, the simple... Right. How about... What's the other one? Is there we go, in the ride. Yo-ho, yo-ho. Yo-ho, 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 pirate's life for me. See, Hakuna. What does that mean, by the way? The rest of your days. That's our life philosophy. Being presented by two slackers to a grieving child who's just experienced the death of his father. That's not a vulnerable moment, is it? Don't mourn him. Or Mowgli, just been kicked out of your clan and almost eaten by a snake, but come on, kid. Hey, little britches. Let me show you about life. There's these presentations. In fact, here's the Hakuna Matata. What a wonderful phrase. Hakuna Matata ain't no passing craze. It means no worries for the rest of your days. It's our problem-free philosophy.
Okay, sure.
Was it? It says, I'm a sensitive soul, though I seem thick-skinned. Oh, and it hurt that my friends never stood downwind. And oh, the shame. Thought of changing my name. Hakuna Matata, what a wonderful phrase. It means no worries for the rest of our days. It's our problem-free philosophy. Just dismiss it. If you're offensive to your friends, don't worry about it. Just keep going on being dismissive. Not an issue. Look for the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities. Forget about your worry and your strife. I mean, the bare necessities, old Mother Nature's recipes that brings the bare necessities of life. Wherever I wander, wherever I roam, I couldn't be founder of my big home. The bees are buzzing in the tree to make some honey just for me. When you look under the rocks and plants, take a glance at the fancy ants, then maybe try a few. The bare necessities of life will come to you. They'll come to you. Look for the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities. Forget about your worries and your strife. I mean, the bare necessities. That's why a bear can rest at ease with just the bare necessities of life. Here's where it gets fun. So just try and relax. Yeah, cool it. Fall apart in my backyard. Because let me tell you something, little britches. If you act like that bee acts, you're working too hard. And don't spend your time looking around for something you want that can't be found. When you find out you can live without it and go along not thinking about it, I'll tell you something true. the bare necessities of life will come to you. Now, I'm not blaming Disney for the sense of entitlement of an entire generation, but... right? Mm-hmm. Oh, it's such a cute movie. Yeah. You know, if you're working like a busy bee, you're working too hard. You know, that'll all just come to you. Just ignore it. Here's the... see if I can find the other one. Oh, yeah. Here we go. Yo-ho, yo-ho, a pirate's life for me. We pillage, we plunder, we rifle and loot. Drink up, me arties, yo-ho. We kidnap and ravage and don't give a hoot. Drink up, me arties, yo-ho. Yo-ho, yo-ho, a pirate's life for me. We extort and pilfer, we filch and sack. Drink up, me arties, yo-ho. Maraud and embezzle and even hijack. Drink up, me hearties, yo. Yo, yo, pirate's life for me. We kindle and char and inflame and ignite. Drink up, me hearties, yo. We burn up the city, we're really a fright. Drink up, me hearties, yo. We're rascals and scoundrels, we're villains and knaves. Drink up, me hearties, yo. We're devils and black sheep. We're really bad eggs. Drink up, me arties, yo-ho. We're beggars and blighters and ne'er-do-well cads. Drink up, me arties, yo-ho. Aye, but we're loved by our mommies and dads. Drink, because that makes it all okay. If you think about this, what is this theme of this ride? Well, it's the, let's see, bombardment and capture and pillage of a Caribbean town. Neat. Innocent people while they, what? By a bunch of drunkards going, drink up, me arties, yo-ho. Like, I want to be that when I grow up. It's a pirate's life for me, and it's romanticized. But we don't think about it, we're just like, yo, let's go on that ride again. It's got a waterfall. Isn't that cool? They're burning the town and chasing the women. Neat.
Well, they switched that.
They switched it. Yeah. Because that's not offensive, is it? Yeah. Yeah, so now the women are chasing the men, but that's not offensive. Okay, so now we've just changed which way we're socializing these people. Or now they're chasing after food. That's okay. Just be a glutton. It's already saying drink up. Why not eat up too? First one's free. But there's this constant presentation of a lifestyle that says, hey, live this way. The pirate's life, it's great. Burn towns, shoot people, get a lot of gold. Why not? Hey, Hakuna Matata, don't worry about your dead father. Just dismiss it. Go on about your way. Not a big deal. Come on. I used to smell. It's okay. Never addressing the fact that, yeah, he did get him killed, didn't he? Hey, so trouble-free philosophy. But see, in those things, they've tapped into something. It's not just Disney. Years and years. Okay, I'm going to stretch back here. How's this? Round, round, get around. Yeah, I get around. Ooh, I get around. I get around. Okay, want to hear the words to that one? There we go. Two girls for every boy. Repeat that again. Two girls for every...
Oh, my God.
That's worse than Vanguard. How many girls per boy at Vanguard, by the way, ladies? Three to one. Almost 4 to 1 now. So, guys, go to Vanguard, you know. Two girls for every boy. That's... Well, hey, that's... we're not going to go there. We're not going to go there. Nope. Not going to do that. It's good, but I'm not going to do that. Here's... Let's see. The words for round, round, get around, I get around, Beach Boys. And I looked them up. Oh, come on. Here we go. Here we go. Round, round, I get around. Yeah, get around. Round, round, I get around. Not a lot of creativity there. I'll kind of drop down through all the get around, round, rounds, I get around. My kind of town. I'm a really cool head. Get around, round, round, I get around. I'm making really good bread. I'm getting bugged driving up and down the same old strip. I gotta find a new place where the kids are hip. My buddies and me are getting real well known. Yeah, the bad guys know us and they leave us alone. I get around my kind of town. I'm a real cool head. I'm making really good bread. I get around, round, I get around. We always take my car because it's never been beat, and we've never missed yet with the girls we meet. We've never missed yet with the girls we meet. None of the guys go steady because it wouldn't be right to leave their best girl home on a Saturday night. Wow. That'll put you stable in life, won't it? How about, here's one written by a guy that'll surprise you. Written by a guy. Sorry, I put a few of these here. Yeah, they were wholesome, right, compared to other stuff at that time. Oh, well, I had it. Let me look for it. I come home in the morning light. My mother says, huh? When you gonna live your life right? Oh, mother dear, we're not the fortunate ones. Girls, they just want to have fun. Oh, girls just want to have fun. The phone rings in the middle of the night. My father yells, what you gonna do with your life? Oh, daddy dear, you know you're still number one. But girls, they want to have fun. Oh, girls just want to have fun. That's all they really want. When the working day is done, oh, girls, they want to have fun. Some boys take a beautiful girl and hide her away from the rest of the world. I want to be the one to walk in the sun. Oh, girls, they want to have fun. Yes, girls, they want to have fun. Written by Robert Hazard. Robert, not a girl's name. Robert Hazard, 1979, performed by Cyndi Lauper, 1983. See, there's this, what's that? He had a little agenda there, yeah. There's this capacity of songs to embody our values and to present a lifestyle. To say, here's a kind of life that I'm living, I want you to consider it, I want... You know, hi diddly dee, an actor's life for me. Yo-ho, a pirate's life for me. Girls just want to have fun. It's fun to stay at the... Is it really? Boy. What does it say? Boy, when you're down on your luck. Oh, it's fun to stay at the... No, it's not. I want to be a... Already am one, sorry. A macho man. Macho man. Here's a lifestyle. Consider it. Think about it. Play with it. This is what we embody. This is what we forward. This is what we advocate. Here, try this one. Hakuna Matata. Bare necessities. Live this way. Here's a proposal for you about your life philosophy. These life motives. This is our philosophy. And we don't realize often how we are bombarded by those and how insidious they are to get into our skulls, and we're just singing along to it, but it's shaping who we are, what we think life is about. And we respond to those intuitively, feeling like certain things. Yeah, of course, two girls for every boy. That's the way it should be. I wouldn't go None of us go steady because it wouldn't be right to leave our best girl home on a Saturday night. Well, you could always stay home with her. And it's in there. On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. Life I love is making music with my friends. I can't wait to get on the road again. Road again. Like a jet band of gypsies, we go down that highway. We're the best of friends, insisting that the world keep turning our way. And our way is on the road again. Right? Is that really a life you want to lead?
No.
No? Does anybody here ever traveled as a musician? Isn't that fun? Is it horrific? Are you separated from your family? You just a band of gypsies going down the highway enjoying life? No. It's misleading. But it wants you to engage in the same lifestyle that it has. I'm not even going to touch hip-hop. I started to, and honestly, I couldn't. Like, I don't even want to listen or look at that stuff. I want to be a what? Seriously? I want to be a... No thanks. Not going to go there. One bourbon, one scotch, one beer was enough for me to have to look at. So we've been looking at God's vinyl, which is a look through the songs of Scripture. And we've gone through a lot of the historical and narrative works, and now we're up at the Psalter, which is the book of Psalms. And the Psalter is huge, right? We're not going to cover all of the Psalms. There's no way. But at least we're going to take a look and sample some of them for their themes. And as we start in at the Psalter, there's a strategic, critical psalm right at the beginning of the Psalter that sets the tone, that's the motto, the life philosophy for the entire book. And pretty much, as far as I can see, every psalm in the Psalter could refer back to this initial psalm, simply because of the simplicity, the distilled essential statement of life that's in that psalm. So if you would, please, turn to Psalm 1. This is the Psalter's version of the bare necessities, or yo-ho, yo-ho, a pirate's life for me. Psalm 1. That's at the beginning of the book of Psalms, by the way. I'm checking to see if they're listening, that's all. Now, you'll hear in this psalm, the psalm has what's called a chiastic structure. In other words, if you think A, B, B, A, if you cross those, it forms like the Greek letter chi, okay, an X. So A, B, B, A. So like a palindrome, madam, I'm Adam, it goes forward to backward, right? So a chiasm says something, then reverses it, says the opposite structure. And then if you think Yoda, hungry I am, right? I am hungry. Hungry I am. That's a chiasm. That's where it goes one way, then it goes the other way. And you'll hear this in there, and there's lots of parallelism, lots of structure in this one. The whole first and second sections are juxtaposed against each other. It's a very intricately woven psalm when you think of it as Hebrew poetry. But right, the whole point of it comes down to the last line. So I want you to listen to this and read along clearly. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. You hear the contrast here. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by the streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. Hear the contrast here. The wicked are not so, but are like the chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Here are those sets of contrasts. The righteous. Blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. By the way, there's no deep secret meaning to this. It's just basically, there's a certain way of life that people who don't love the Lord live. They're scoffers. They're wicked. They're mockers. And he says, blessed is the man who doesn't do that, who doesn't hang with that. And he says, by contrast, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. So then it plays up this metaphor. He's like a tree planted by streams of water. It yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf doesn't wither. It repeats that idea of fruitfulness. And then it contrasts. The wicked aren't like this. They're like chaff. That picture of chaff blowing in the wind, dried out, versus a tree planted by the rivers of water. And it boils all down to this one phrase. The Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. And that is the summary, the life philosophy motto song of the entire Psalter. The Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. And that's a point that often we forget in our society. The church has forgotten this. There's just a couple of things I want to pull out of this because we're not going to unpack all the details, but they're crucial. The first is that there are two different ways of life open to every human. There are two different ways of life. There's a clear presentation of two categories. There are two categories. There is regard for the Lord, and there is not regard for the Lord. We would like it to be a lot more fuzzy. We would like it because of our society and all of the songs that are presented to us, all of the ideas of how to live, how many times we've seen Disney and every other thing. We want it to be fuzzy. We want it to be gray. We want it to be obscure. Our society is always telling us, well, hey, it's a lot more complex. No, there are two. Can everybody do this? Okay? Two. Peace be with you. Sorry. There are only, Scripture is clear throughout it, there are only two ways to live a life. Two ways. You regard the Lord or you don't regard the Lord. That's it. However you want to nuance it, there's still a horizon, there's still a boundary, there's still a contrast. And this psalm is all about contrast. You either live for the Lord or you don't live for the Lord. But the Scripture is clear. There is no in between. There is no almost. It's like Yoda again, right? There is no try. There's only do or not do. Right? There is no try. There is no just try. Either you are trying because you are dedicated to the Lord and you want to regard him, and you, like I, am clumsy and need God's grace, or you are not doing because you don't want to really follow the Lord. But there's only two ways. There's no other way about this. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. By the way, think about the inputs that we put in our heads. Think about the inputs that we expose ourselves to. Whether it's in the movies, whether it's in the songs we listen to, whether it's in the media we watch, whether it's the scoffers at night on late night TV. Do they do anything but scoff? Whether it's the news services we watch, do they do anything but mock and criticize? Do you hear a delight in the law of the Lord in the stuff that you're putting in your head? There is a keeping company with scoffing and scorning and mockery and contempt that the Lord says, that has nothing to do with walking after me. It shouldn't be a part of your speech. It shouldn't be a part of your company. It shouldn't be a part of the media you put in your head. Scoffing, mocking, disregard has nothing to do with the Christian life. Put it away. Or the counsel of the wicked. There's only two ways about it. Reminds me of Green Acres is the place for me. Farm living is the life for me. Land spreading out so far and wide. Keep Manhattan, just give me that countryside. New York is where I'd rather stay. I get allergic smelling hay. I just enjoy a penthouse view. Darling, I love you, but give me Park Avenue. Right? Comes down to, for those of you who don't know, check out the 1960s TV show Green Acres. It's all about the conflict. There's a big city businessman who wants to live in the country and be a farmer, and his wife wants nothing but to live in the city and enjoy a cosmopolitan lifestyle. And the end is, you are my wife, and she says, goodbye, city life, Green Acres, we are here. Because the Lord says, you will come with me, you are my bride, you come with me to my lifestyle. And we say, but I love New York. And he says, you're my wife, come with me. And we either have to say, I will go with you, Lord, to the lifestyle you want. I'll Hakuna Matata with you and take yo-ho, yo-ho, a Christian's life for me, or I won't. But you can't stay in New York and live at Green Acres. Now, what the psalmist says, that Green Acres is the life of the Lord, the rich fullness of life. Here's the other point I want to make. And I'll frame it as a question. How's that? This is just a little litmus test that I use with my students at Fuller. So I'll subject you to it too, if you don't mind. Ready? There's going to be two questions, two scenarios. Make it very clear in your mind your response to both. Here's the first one. I want you to imagine that no matter what happens, no matter how you live, no matter how anyone lives, everyone gets saved in the end. And you know this. Imagine that no matter what, everyone was saved in the end. Everyone gets to go to heaven in the end, no matter what they do. Now, the question is this. How would you live your life if that were the case? If no matter what, no matter what, you were going to go to heaven, how would you live your life? Got it? You can close your eyes if you want. Don't fall asleep on me. Envision, how would you live your life if you knew that no matter what, everyone got to go to heaven? Okay, here's the opposite scenario. I want you to imagine, no matter what, everyone went to hell. No matter what, everyone went to hell. Doesn't matter what you do. Everyone goes to hell in the end. Now, how would you live your life? Oh, that's totally out of it. Well, you could say the Bible exists, but we're going to say the Lord has a new revelation, and he tells everybody, nope, you're all going to go to hell. I changed my mind. He's done it before. Like when he said, nah, never mind the law. Okay, got it? How would you live? Now, juxtapose those two different lifestyles. No matter what, everyone goes to heaven, how would you live? Now say, no matter what, everyone goes to hell, how would you live? Here's the point. If it's in any way different than you're living now, I'm not going to say that you don't love the Lord, but you don't believe that this is the best life. You believe that somehow there's a better life out there that's being kept from you, and you're doing it as an investment program. It's a transaction. You mean to tell me, and God forbid, but she's not in the room, you mean to tell me that if I in some way knew that I was going to lose my wife, I wouldn't want to spend every second with her? Or if I knew I would always have her, that I wouldn't want to spend every second with her. I want to tell you today that if, and God forbid, but if he chose to send everyone to hell no matter what, I would want every second I could have with him now. To live as close to him as I could now. If I was going to spend eternity away from him, I would want all of that now, because that is the very best way to live. Or if everyone was going to get it, no matter what, I would want to spend every moment as close as I could to him now, living as close to how he wants now, because that's the very best way to live.
A lot of times we say, oh, you know, I'd go out there and I'd wallow in the filth. Gee, it's just holding you back? Like saying, you know, I just have this incredible urge to run my hand through piles of dog do. And you're keeping me from it. Because I want a job in a hospital, therefore I don't do it. But, you know, I really want to. Right?
Jesus said, blessed, 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 all these different ways. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Right? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed, blessed, blessed. He's saying all the time, I have this amazing life for you. I have this wonderful way of life. You think that stuff out there is, don't you remember that stuff? That is a lunch full of styrofoam hamburgers. That is about the emptiest life you could ever have. Oh, but I just want to go get a lot of money and live on a yacht. Like all those other people going, I need another martini. I got all my money. I got my yacht. And I hate myself, and I don't know what I'm doing with life. And I'm just about ready to shoot myself. I'm glad they did a suicide-assisted law in California, because I have empty, and I got to keep cramming chemicals into myself to try to get a broader or deeper sense of experience. That's why all that stuff's out there. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. Isn't that fun to hang around wicked people? No! Nor stands in the way of sinners. I'm sorry, I look out my front door. I don't want to be hanging out, jittering for another hit of crystal meth, hanging out with my gang friends. I don't want to live that life. I don't want my family to have to sell themselves for drug debts or sit in the seat of scoffers. I don't want that scornful stuff in my ears. I don't want it coming out my mouth. I don't want to drink Drano either. It has the same effect. Blessed is that man. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. If you want your soul to feel okay, if you want your mind to be at peace, if you want to have assurance in life, if you want to be blessed, read the scripture. That's like saying, do you want not to itch all over? Take a shower. Do you want not to lay down and revile yourself? Live with some hygiene. Okay? You want your soul to feel good? Get in the scripture. Live after the Lord. Regard him. You want your life to have stability and vitality and not chaff and be blown around and dried out, desiccated, tired, frustrated, empty? Live after the Lord. The Christian life is a great life. Knowing Jesus is amazing. It's full of liberty and peace and joy, satisfaction, meaning, purpose, hope, a future. Soundness of mind, soundness of soul, soundness of life. It's healthy and good and sweet tasting. It is not like Santa Ana water. It is like Sparklets water. It's all chlorinated and full of, whoa, soup of the day, right? The Christian life is a superior life. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. A challenge, just to lay it out there. If someone distilled your values, attitude, life, and behaviors, your values, attitude, life, and behaviors, if they distilled that down and wrote it into a song that was a life philosophy, what would it sound like? Would it be, yo-ho, yo-ho, a skeptic's life for me? You know? Hi, diddly-dee, a conflicted sort of doubter's life for me. Would it be, yo-ho, yo-ho, a Christian's life for me? Could we say with gusto, we honor and serve and wash each other's feet. We're humble and we're full of joy, you know? Drink up, me hearties, yo-ho. Psalm 34, if you would, please. This is, you know, in the Jungle Book, they reprise that bare necessities. And this theme is reprised throughout the Psalms. This is a reprise of it. Look at, starting at verse 11, we're not going to do the whole thing. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good, and seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. He saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Look over at verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. I call you to the good life. Come to the good life. It's the bare necessity. It's the simple, bare necessity. Forget about your worries and your strife. This is the bare necessity. Live righteously. Live good. Live according to the Lord. He will take care of you. Taste and see that he's good. Drink up, me hearties. Yo-ho. Let's pray. Lord, we want to taste and see that you are good. Forgive us for standing next to the fountain, pining away for a drink of water. We acknowledge that you have opened your hand with blessing. We want to live as your people regarding you. In your name and to your glory. Amen. Pastor Brownson.